evening, councillors. Good evening, staff. The time being 5:30, I'd like to declare the meeting open. I'd like to remind all persons in attendance that it is council policy to record council meetings. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a period of 12 months. In accordance with council policy, I'll ask the general manager to confirm that the audio recording has commenced. Confirmed. And confirmed. The first thing I'd like to do on tonight's agenda is to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay my respect to them and their customs, and also to their elders past, present and future. In attendance tonight, myself, Councillor Voss, Deputy Mayor Councillor Reid, Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Berry, Councillor Fox, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Percy, Councillor Grace and Councillor Winter. From staff in attendance tonight we have Mr. Arnold, our General Manager, Mr. Ferrier, our Deputy General Manager, Mr. Breen, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Reeve, the Executive Manager, Engineering Services, Mr. Smee, Manager, Governance and Property Services, Mrs. Stevenson, Acting Manager, Development Services, Ms. Jenny, Manager, Community Services, Ms. Wilcox, Media and Communications Officer, Ms. Allen, our Liaison Officer, Governance and Property Services, and Mrs. Morton, Executive Assistant. On page two, apologies, we have one apology, and that is from Councillor Bastone, who is on leave of absence. Next item is confirmation of minutes of Council meeting number 18, held on the 12th of September 2016. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Reid. I'll put that motion, moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Reid, that minutes of Council meeting number 18 held on the 12th of September 2016 be confirmed. Those in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. Workshops held since our last meeting on the 12th of September. There was one on the 19th of September, the purpose to advise building regulations and planning scheme. Next item is declarations of interest, and I ask councillors if there's any declarations of interest that you would please advise so now. Councillor Winter.
Yes, in the item for noting for the planning part of it, there's an item for noting including changes to an Optus tower. Optus is my employer, however, unless there's any move to change that, I'll be remaining in the room as we're only noting the item.
Fine. Thank you, Councillor Winter. No other items? In that case, we'll move to page 3 and 4. Questions on notice from the public. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice from the public. There are no public present at the moment, so there'll be no questions without notice from the public. Questions on notice from councillors. There are a number of those. Proposed Tas Water Pipeline from Councillor Winter and a response on page 4. And page 5, Kingborough Way Services Corporate Support Payments from Councillor Winter and a response on page 5. On page 6, questions without notice from councillors. Are there any questions without notice? Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to ask, I read in the Mercury on Saturday, or Mercury Online in fact, about the report into the Council Amalgamations, and it said Hobart Lord Mayor Sir Hickey said Council was involved in the Greater Hobart Study. It had been presented for some draft results, and I wondered who those results have been made available to and whether we were going to have access to them.
Thank you. I'll hand to the General Manager, Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I also read that article and wondered at the choice of the term results. The only results that the Mayor and I have seen thus far have been a draft stage one report and a baseline analysis that has been tinkered with on a number of occasions from Morrison Lowe, and in fact tomorrow morning the Mayor and I have a meeting to discuss the lack of progress on the Greater Hobart study.
Thank you.
Councillor Grace.
I have three questions. My first question is, I note that we are about to appoint a new planning person in charge of planning, I understand. Will that position be on a full-time basis or is it going to be on a casual basis?
Thank you. I'll ask the General Manager to respond. Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Grace, the position was advertised on a full-time basis and discussions are currently taking place with a preferred candidate.
But full-time?
Correct.
Okay. As we're aware, the general manager sometime has told us that he's doing a review regarding works, vehicles, etc. Can the general manager inform us where he's at and how much longer it's going to take before we get a final report back?
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Council recently received a progress report. The reviews are ongoing and I'll take on notice when the next progress report is due and report back to Council.
My third question, Mr. Mayor. I noted we called tenders for the operation of the kiosk at Drew Point. I note again in the agenda there's no report regarding that. Can the general manager inform us when will we get a report, or was there any people interested in operating the centre?
Thank you. Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Grace, I can report back that I have only today been reading the report from the panel that reviewed the tenders that were received. Yes, we did.
Thank you. Further questions without notice? That case will move on to the next item, motions of which notice has been given. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no notices of motion received. Petition still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned. And petitions received in the last period. No petitions have been received. The open session of council will now adjourn. And the Planning Authority meeting will commence at 5:37. And the first officer's report is delegated authority for the period 31st of August through to the 13th of September 2016 and a recommendation on page 9. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton, and thank you, Councillor Berry. Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Gross?
On page 9... DA 2016-312, home-based business at Wandella Place, Margate. Sorry, I forgot the note, yeah. Can we get more information what is going to happen there?
Mrs. Stevenson, are you able to advise?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'll have to take that on notice. I'm not familiar with that application, but I can certainly find out the details of what the business was and email councillors tomorrow.
Thank you. In that case, councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chandon, seconded by Councillor Berry, that the report be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? Carried unanimously. On page 10 is a development application for demolition and new dwelling requiring relaxation of building envelope standard at 34 Talone Road, Blackmans Bay for Matt William Architects. And there is a recommendation, I think, on page 22. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Fox?
I was just nodding that it was on page 22.
Oh.
That happens when you're
an auction. That'll teach me.
I think Councillor Chadden was right. Glad it's not an auction.
I think, though, that even though this area is very attractive and there may well be concerns from residents, they have been addressed by the report in terms of overshadowing particularly. And I feel that it complies with the scheme and therefore we have no option but to refuse it, to agree to it.
To approve?
Yep, approve. Thank you.
Any further debate, councillors? On that basis, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Chadden, that the plan... Councillor Percy was too. My apologies. That, yeah, that the planning authority resolves that the development application for demolition and new building requiring relaxation of building envelope standard at 34 Tolone Road, Blackmans Bay, for Matt Williams Architects be approved subject to the following conditions. And as you can see, there are four conditions. I'll put that recommendation. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, please say no. That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 40, and that is a development application for extension and alterations to existing dwelling at 18 Seaview Avenue, Taroona, for Mr. A.D. Paphatidis. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Page 50. And thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Fox.
Once again, there's a marginal discretion in terms of site coverage. But it's consistent with the general area and the very minor overshadowing issues, and deck extension needs to be screened, but I think overall it meets the planning scheme and should be agreed to. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. I will now put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Reid, that the Planning Authority resolves that the development application for extension and alterations to existing dwelling at 18 Seaview Avenue, Taroona, for Mr. A.D. Paphatidis be approved subject to the following conditions. And as you can see from your agenda, there are six conditions. Councillors, please, in those in favour, please say aye. Those against? That motion is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 64, development application for demolition and upgrade of clubroom facilities and car parking at Kelvedon Park, 34 Nubina Crescent, Taroona, for the Taroona Football Club. And there is a recommendation on page 77. Thank you, Councillor Fox, and thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Councillor Fox.
I was interested in this application because even though it's a development application before us, it was the first that I had heard of the possibility of this building on the land, which I understand is owned by council. And I did confirm that with staff. And I was wondering whether the council had consent to actually develop on this land. And I was told that they don't as yet. They have consent from the general manager to put in the development application, but if we approve this, then they would still need actual consent from council to build on this land. But the purpose of this development application is to apply for funding in order to build. Now, I'd be happy to be corrected. But I feel that we need to be aware of that situation when we're considering this application, because I think there are concerns in the community which may well impact on other facilities in the area. For example, the Taroona Bowls Club, the Taroona Tennis Club and the actual hotel. But I still would move the development application.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Fox, and on that I'd ask councillors to treat it simply as a development application because that's what we're dealing with. Thank you for those comments. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I was interested to read the representative's concern about the facility being used for public events and so on, and so I was glad to see that that had been addressed in Condition 10. It says the function room is ancillary to the use of the site as a sports ground and is for use by members and guests of the Taroona Football Club only. So I was glad that it had been included. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Further speakers, councillors? Councillor Berry?
Thank you, Mayor. You made me continue with my finger. So thank you. I wasn't sure if I was going to press the button or not. But I mean, this, as Councillor Fox has explained, I mean, this has got a fair way to run yet, but if you go and have a look at the facilities, and in fact the ground itself is not in very good condition. It's one of our football grounds. It's in pretty dodgy condition, and But the club has got a massive number of members, and it's very productive, lots of kids, and even if, apart from the ground itself, it certainly needs to have the club rooms developed and car parking organised, so I'm fully in support of this and likely would support the next time it comes to council too. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Further speakers? Councillor Chadden?
Just a question, seeing Councillor Fox made the statement to which she made. Question to the General Manager. If we approve this as a planning matter, it wouldn't come back to councils again then, because it's been approved. I'm a little bit perplexed on what Councillor Fox was saying. Can we just have an explanation, please?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the reference to the General Manager's consent was to enable the matter to get to this point, in other words, for the development application to be lodged. If Council were of a mind to approve the development application, it is my understanding, and I'm looking to my colleagues, but it is my understanding that the applicant proposes to seek funding for external funds for the construction, and it may not come back to Council if they are successful in receiving those funds, if the Council supports the application for the DA.
Thank you, that's as I understood it.
Councillor Fox, would you like to close debate?
It's an unusual situation in that normally an applicant would get permission from Council to do the works, I think, prior to putting in the development application. And I was led to believe by the planning staff that it would come back to Council, but we've heard the opposite from the General Manager. But I still support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Chadden, that the Planning Authority resolves that the development application for demolition and upgrade of clubroom facilities and car parking in Kelvedon Park, 34 New Bina Crescent, Taroona, for Taroona Football Club be approved subject to the following conditions. And as you can see, there are 10 conditions in your agenda. Councillors in favour, if you would please say aye. Councillors against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Councillors in favour of the motion are Councillors Winter, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wass. And opposing the motion, Councillor Grace. Motion is carried. The open session of Council resumed at 5:48. First officer's report is on policy 3.15, asset management policy, and there is a recommendation on page 97. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Thank you, Councillor Reed. Councillor Fox?
I think this is a very worthwhile policy. I think it's interesting to note that the actual figures have been taken out, that we're talking about assets in general and not specifically about built assets. And I think it's more concise and more relevant and will last into the future. So I think it's very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Reed?
I just found a typo that I just wanted to draw to attention. It's under guidelines on page 100. It's the last dot point. It's got an apostrophe in councillors that doesn't need to be there.
Thank you. Councillor Percy?
Thank you, Mayor. Right. It says in the policy that amendments to the asset management policy are minor. So if they are minor, then we are basically saying that the policy at the moment is working. I think in my 2 years here at Council, the most, other than planning, the most frustrating thing I've found with Council is the amount of, or the information that's coming out of the asset management services or system. I think we spend a lot of time each year to try and work out what our underlying surplus or deficit is going to be as per the long-term financial plan. And then we get to the, and each quarter we get reports from Council on the finances and that, and then and which I ask the questions about and I get good answers about, and then we get to the end of financial year and we find that all of a sudden something comes out of the woodwork as far as asset management. And just to give an example, I think in 2013-14 we had $899,000 come out as an underlying written down value of assets disposed of. Last year $956,000, this year $995,000. So I'm just, I know a policy is a policy, and from policies you get procedures, and from procedures then you get evaluations, and you check to see whether all the figures that you've said was going to happen actually happen or not. But I don't think at the moment we are getting out of the system that we should do it. So is it the policy is the problem, or is it everything that comes under that? Now, in this policy, it's always talking about defined levels of service, and I've queried that before about, how far down do we have levels of service? Is it in classifications, or is it every asset? I know we've had discussions, but I'm still not sure about what levels of service we agree to and how you quantify those levels of services. So as councillors, I don't think we've ever been told what those levels of services are. So that to me is a problem. It says in here, this system should reflect a life cycle approach. The life cycle approach, if you've got a life cycle approach, you must know what your depreciation is per year, so you don't have anything at the end of this. When you get disposed of the asset, you should have zero unless you're going to get money for that asset that you're known on previously. And there's other things in there. We're going to, I think part of the new system was we were going to consult the community on service levels. I'm just wondering how we're going to do that, and once again, how we're going to quantify it. Also, I think in there it says that it was going to work with the elected members in the budget sessions on service levels and how they're quantified and all that sort of thing. But I'm just wondering I'm not quite sure that's been done in the past, and how that's going to happen. So, no one there says capture information about the activities undertaken to assist in the analysis of current and future expenditure requirements. Does that mean that we're going to look at things like sealed versus unsealed roads and what the whole life costs are for those, where we should go down that track or not? Also, another one here says based on life cycle perspective, whereby all covered investment expenditure is only approved in conjunction with a clear understanding of what the impact will be on identified recurrent operational expenditure budgets. So I'd probably like an example of that. So with the budget process, can elected members be briefed on these service levels and how they were arrived at and how they are evaluated against the agreed service levels? So that's my... Because I think if I looked at going forward, I think this council for sustainability is really hanging off what comes out of the asset management system. If we don't watch ourselves, we won't be sustainable, and it could be because of the asset management system. So I know Mr. Reeve is looking hard, a lot harder at asset management than what we've had in the past, but still we end up with a lot of surprises at the end of the financial year. Some of those things go back a few years. This year we found a block of land or something we didn't know we had or something. It was doubled up or counted twice or something. So, I know there's the asset management system, which is the engineering section, but there's also the asset management, which is the financial system. We don't want silos between the two of them. We want them both working together so we end up with no surprise at the end of June. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Mr. Reeve, would you like to respond to some of those issues that Councillor Percy has raised?
Yes, through you, Mayor. There's a number of different issues that you've just raised there, and I guess I've jotted down a couple of them there so I can actually respond to them in full. You talked a little bit about the written down value of assets there and the fact that we're writing those off as a loss at the end of the year. There's, a couple of reasons behind that one. One of the main reasons is that when we do actually do some rehabilitation work on assets there, quite often what we'll do is replace the complementary assets that actually go with that as well. So, for example, if I was going to replace a road, the chances are I'll replace the curb and channel, I'll replace the footpath as well at the same time there. They might not be fully expended through their life there, but you still would actually replace them at that time because the economies of scale say that you would actually do that. So you do end up actually taking a loss on those assets if you do that. We do, as much as possible, try and adjust our assets back down to where they should be. So we do regular assessments on our assets there so that we don't have an asset that says it's got 40 years life left in it and in reality it's only got 5 years life left in it. So we do regular condition assessments, particularly on our road assets, which is by far our largest one, so to try and deal with that. Can we do better in that area? Yes, no doubt we can, as can a lot of other councils there, so that's something we're certainly working towards to actually trying to address. You also mentioned about the levels of service. They're split into two parts. So we've got the maintenance levels of service, which is something we're actually working on at the moment there. So that will go into a fair bit of detail in terms of what we will do, when we will do it, what our response time for doing that will be, and what it actually costs for us to deliver that type of service. So we've just completed the one for the sports grounds and we'll be doing the other ones as we go through. There's also levels of service that get applied to our, if you like, more of our capital type items there, so in terms of actually when will we replace a road, you know, what will we replace the road in. It starts to impinge into areas of life cycle costing. You mentioned about sealed and unsealed roads there, when we might actually seal an unsealed road. So that's all forms part of that process as well at the same time. Once again, that's something that we're actually looking at. So when it refers to life cycle costing with costing in the policy there, that's the type of things we're actually looking at. In terms of consultation on service levels with the community there, in my opinion, it's something that I think council has to get their head around first before we do major scale consultation with the community there. So you need to actually understand what we are actually delivering and how we're delivering that and actually signing off on that process as well. So you mentioned the fact you haven't actually seen any of this information. That's the type of stuff that we're expecting to actually deliver to you within this sort of 12-month period. Certainly that was one of the reasons why I actually had someone come down and run a workshop with you guys not too long ago, and it's also the reason why I've actually added the extra bit in there in terms of training and so forth and information to be provided back to elected members in particular there, because that was missing in the previous policy. The other bit I think you mentioned there was taking into account the impact on, I guess, our operational costs when we are doing capital work. So in other words, when we've got a project that actually comes up there, how do we take that into account? Certainly with all our budget bid sheets we actually have at the moment there, there's an area there which is highlighted just for that, just to actually say, if we're going to do those works there, is there a negative or a positive impact on our maintenance costs? So that's fairly important, particularly if we're doing new works there. So it's nice to actually go and build a $500,000 grandstand, but what does that mean in terms of our ongoing maintenance costs? You'll remember, as an example to that, the grant we recently got for the Margate to Snug cycleway, and if you recall the report that actually went up to council on that occasion there, talked about the fact that there would be $20,000 of operational costs we'd have to expend each year to actually maintain that particular facility. So they're the types of things we're actually talking about there, so we can actually collate that information in there so that we don't get any surprises that actually come forth when we're actually looking at putting putting capital projects forward. And that's certainly something that's actually very important to me. Certainly when I look at reports there from anywhere around council there, that's one of the things I actually bring up to actually say, is there any maintenance costs associated with this, because we need to actually collate that. The only other point I think I picked over to that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong there, was the issue of saying, well, have we got, actually got all our asset data there that we need? It's, you talked about actually finding assets and duplication of land and that sort of part of it. It will be an ongoing thing probably over the next few years or so, and it's no different to what other councils are either. They're in the situation where they have their assets there, but they quite often will find assets that they weren't quite aware of or assets that were a little bit longer than they thought they were going to be. That will be an ongoing issue there. We have made quite a few inroads into that, as you're aware. We've componentised all our road assets, which is a fairly large step for us to actually take, and we've got ongoing revaluations actually happening with all our asset classes over the next couple of years as well, which will pick up on a lot of those other issues at the same time.
Thank you, Mr. Reeve. That answers your questions, Councillor Percy. Thank you. Councillor Gross.
I think Mr. Reeve's answered a lot of the questions that I was going to raise, in particular capital works, etc., maintenance and all sorts of assets. Councillor Berry raised an issue just a while ago on another previous issue that came before council about the condition of a football ground at Taruna. But what worries me with this asset management is the fact that we deal with it now and that's the end of it. When we do our works programs, it's staff who make the deciding decision on what road should be sealed or what road should be dug up and rebuilt, etc., etc. There's no consultation out in the public with the public. We then have a chance to put our bid in, but then it's too late. But back to the policy, I don't think we deal with this policy enough. We deal with it now, we amend it, we send it through, and that's the end of it. This will go on like the review of the works and engineering and all that. This will go on and on and on and nothing will be achieved. That's the biggest worry I've got with this asset management thing, even though we have a crew inside in the engineering department doing a fantastic job. We haven't got, as far as disposing of assets, particularly plant and equipment, which I've asked several times for copies of. What do we get for these vehicles? What do we get? What do they cost to replace? We do get sometimes. We get a tender where we've let a tender and that's going to cost us $200,000 to replace it. We haven't really reviewed. We did review once about the amount of hours we're selling some of the machineries too soon. And then next thing you find out we're selling them less than what we agreed that we should keep them for 2 years down the track. So, I mean, we've got to get a policy and then work on the policy all the time. We should be told each financial or every works budget time the conditions of halls, why we're spending money on Dens Point or why we're spending money on Kettering Hall or whatever. We've got to look at the conditions of overall so that at least we've got a report in front of us to say, well, so many halls need so much spending on so many roads. We know in our road network, and I'm constantly saying about gravelling of roads, but every time you mention that, it comes back to say, well, if you seal it, they're going to speed on it. Well, I don't agree with that. I just think, and if you look at the amount of cars lately running around our municipality from one end to the other with gravel, where we just resheeted our roads, it's a good example if councillors only take the time and look. If those roads were sealed, that wouldn't happen. That's waste of raw material. Absolutely waste of it. This asset management thing, as Mr. Reeves has said, he's conscious of it, and I think councillors should pay more attention to it, not only just now, but as we go through the year on our projects.
Thank you, Councillor Grace, for those comments. Any further comments, councillors, or I'll put the recommendation? I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Reed. That policy 3.15, asset management policy, as attached to the report, be approved by council. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That's carried unanimously. The next item is on page 105, the Municipal Engineering Management Coordinator, and there is a recommendation on page 106. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Councillor Grace.
This I'm pleased to see. I had a phone call today on this. Municipality emergency management. I heard it was closed down, but it's certainly not closed down. We are now appointing a replacement for Mr. Holloway, that's why I moved it. But I am concerned, I've heard also that we're going to close halls as an emergency point. So we need to get this up and running. Have we had many reports through you, Mayor? Have we had many reports on what... I've forgotten what reports we've had in the past since this committee's been set up. I know the General Manager have put some reports through to us. Maybe it's time we got a up-to-date report on what is proposed. And I heard that the Fire Brigade are going to take over a certain amount of the emergency stuff.
Certainly the Fire Brigade have started this particular year off as far as the 2016-17 bushfire season. They have been out on the front foot with the idea, of course, that they don't want a repercussion of past fires. They've coordinated that with the TAS police and with Parks, and yes, Parliament, but Parks. They also took in local government, and they've taken in other government departments like like Hydro, because it's across the state. So they're on the front foot there, and certainly their methodology this year is a little bit different, getting out to the community in general, that it is to the community in general's safety, that the community in general undertake a number of works and not to rely on the firefighters, because obviously when a fire starts, little spasmodic fires here and there, the fire service have to look at the big picture, i.e. how they're going to contain that and to extinguish that fire, whereas they can't be on the periphery fighting little fires when they've got the bigger picture in mind. So if the community look after their own dwellings and properties, the community therefore will do that, which will save their properties, or hopefully will save their properties and allow fire services and others to canvass in the right area. From what Mr. Holloway was doing, he was doing the Torrens, and I can't, I'll get it wrong, but the Torrens principles or the Torrens formula, which was a an item that's gone around through the municipality, which each and every precinct is working on. And that's probably getting away from the motion because of the...
I don't think they've got any problem with that. Where we have a designated hall for a safe home and what do you call them?
An emergency, evacuation centre.
Yeah, evacuation centre. That's what they're concerned about. If that's going to be changed,
yep.
I haven't heard anything about it. But look,
I have heard some of those, and I think if I ask Mr. Smee, Mr. Smee will be able to update us and give us the full.
Mr. Smee does, can I just ask that, Mr. Mayor, that can we get something out to the public then, because they're hearing things outside, and I don't even know about it as a councillor. I can't recall where this has come to council at this stage where we're going to get rid of those. Safe haven.
Yeah, well, let's ask Mr. Smee for his update and we'll take it from there. Mr. Smee?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. A distinction needs to be made between an emergency evacuation centre and emergency assembly point. We have one evacuation centre designated within Kingborough, and that is the Kingborough Sports Centre. A hall may be established as an emergency assembly point depending on what the particular emergency is and where it is. So a hall could be activated. So we haven't decommissioned any halls as potential sites, but there is a misunderstanding, certainly amongst some of the hall management committees, that think that they are an emergency evacuation centre, which they are not. There's never an intention that people are going to be spending the night at a hall. If anyone's spending the night, it'll be at the Kingborough Sports Centre, which is our only evacuation centre. There may be an occasion in which we choose to, say, set up the Kettering Hall as an assembly point at which people can obtain information in relation to a particular emergency. But I think that's where the confusion lies, and Councillor Grace is correct. We do need to undertake more community consultation and education in relation to this matter, and certainly now that we've got Belinda on board dedicated to that role, that's one of the things that she plans to do shortly.
Thank you, Mr. Smee. Answer your question, Councillor. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've noticed our press lady over there riding flat out, so hopefully we'll see something in the Chronicle soon.
Thank you. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm sort of coming back to the report in front of us. I mean, this position is a very important position, and I think it's important that we do have a senior or relatively senior member of staff actually in this position. And I support the recommendation. It's, I think, difficult for me to go past this without actually acknowledging the work that Mr. Holloway did in this position. It was pretty remarkable. The council actually won awards for emergency management whilst he was in charge, and so I fully support the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. No further debate, councillors. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Gray, seconded by Councillor Chadden, that Council, in accordance with the Emergency Management Act 2006, recommend to the Minister for Police, Fire and Emergency Management the appointment of Belinda Loxley as the Kingborough Municipal Emergency Management Coordinator. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 107, Taroona Beach and Dogs, and there is a recommendation on page 108. Councillor Atkinson, do I have a seconder? Councillor Berry. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. It was interesting to read this was presented as a petition, but didn't make the conditions to be formally considered as a petition. It does show that members of the community are, you know, concerned and engaged about where they can walk their dogs and where dogs are prohibited and so on. And I like the recommendation that's been put to us here, in that we're already doing some work on this. I think it is important that Council takes a strategic, consistent approach to dog management, and as much as it will probably frustrate these residents that we don't respond directly to their request, I think that a consistent policy across the municipality that takes into account where dogs can and can't go and not just looks at one individual case is a better approach. So I endorse the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Berry?
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, I would basically support what Councillor Atkinson has said. It was with some relief when I read this report, we weren't actually going to decide whether the dogs were going to be on Taroona Beach or not. At least it's going to be a strategic decision with review of the dog management policy. So if anything gets anyone's hackles up, it's allowing dogs on or dogs off beaches. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Fox?
I guess the point to make is that the petition was left at a vet, and of course dog owners go to vets, but people who don't own dogs probably don't. And a person who doesn't own dogs who lives in Taroona was horrified to see this petition or hear about it and have a look at it, and is now, as we speak, preparing a petition for dogs to be kept off beaches. And this is exactly what happened in Blackmans Bay. So we're on the merry-go-round. I am concerned about 4.4, that if there is no progress by the state government in relation to the review of the Dog Act by the end of 2016, that staff are proposing that we proceed with an update and implementation of Council's dog management policy regardless. And I don't think we've resolved the issues that were raised in the Blackmans Bay situation, and I don't think we'll be able to now without direction from the Minister. So I feel quite concerned about that point, and I would say that I don't support it.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Percy?
I've just got a couple of questions. What is missing for it to become a petition, just for my own benefit? Has anybody got any idea?
Because it hasn't been submitted in the correct format.
Right, good. And it says there that obviously we're waiting for the review by the end of 2016. When would we anticipate our review to be completed?
Mr. Smee, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we haven't been given a time frame from the state government as to when they propose to release the review of the Dog Control Act. I'm very mindful that our dog management policy is now nearly 2 years out of date, and the state government may very well continue to drag their heels in relation to the review for another 2 years. So I'm keen to progress our review of the dog management policy. I'm hopeful that we will have some direction from the state government. That doesn't mean we don't go through a process that then has to be done again. But I'm very mindful that the proposed review by the state government has been dragging on for an awful long time, and I think it's only fair that we do proceed to move on a review of our own dog management policy in line with the existing provisions. And as I've indicated in the report, We're currently preparing the required background information to enable us to proceed with the public consultation phase of that early in the new year, unless, of course, Council resolve otherwise that they want to continue to place that review on hold.
Thank you, Mr. Smee. Councillor Chadden.
Yeah, look, a lot of these so-called petitions or petitions come to us from time to time, and if one looks at particular beaches in particular, there's those people that treasure their beach, and there's others that treasure their beach for their dogs, and others treasure their beach for people. Unfortunately, if you go through the list on all these pages, there are quite a few signatures from out of the Taroona area. In fact, I picked up one at Tara. There's a couple in Sandy Bay, there's a few in South Hobart, there's a few at Kingston Beach and some at Blacklands Bay. I mean, I think you've got to be very careful that if we get a petition about dogs on beaches, that we try and keep it to the people in the area, because they're the ones who are affected or not affected, and it's easy to go around and get signatures from anywhere. And those beaches mean a lot to the people who live there, so we've got to be very careful that we don't say, oh, look, we've got a petition with 100 signatures or 150 signatures. It's got to be, in my opinion, the signatures are most important are the ones that are the people from the area to which the beach applies. And I think we need to be mindful of that in the future.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Wish to close debate, Councillor Atkinson? Closed. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Berry, that the organisers of the Taroona Beach petition be advised that Council will consider the matter of dog restrictions on Taroona Beach as part of the current review of its dog management policy. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 122, policy 1.5.
Discuss, please.
Meeting. To discuss, do I have a seconder? Councillor Berry. I'll put that the matter be discussed. Those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please, that the matter be discussed. Those in favour of the matter being discussed are Councillors Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Reet and Wass, and opposing the motion are Councillors Winter, Councillor Grace, Councillor Atkinson. Motion is carried. Councillor Chatterton.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, the reason I asked, I suggest we go that way, because I didn't think that the motion that was put before us is perhaps the right way to go. The reason I say that, at the moment, this report refers to, it refers back to Council's meeting procedure that we don't have committees. Now, that is subject to review after 12 months, if my information is correct. And therefore, why would you cut out a policy that may be relevant in a few months' time when we sit down and decide whether we wish to continue our meetings as we are or go back to committees? Now, I'm not foreshadowing one way or the other. To me, I would rather this policy just sit there in abeyance until we have made a final decision on whether we want to continue as we are or is there a better way to conduct our meetings. So, in other words, go back to committees, etc. Because that was one of the things in the report that it's the reasons, one of the reasons to get rid of it was because of committees. So all I'm suggesting, that's why I wanted to discuss it, because I felt that we need to bear in mind why rescind something if you have to bring something back in later on when a decision hasn't been made.
Thank you. I'm looking for any other councillors that might like to add discussion. Councillor Berry?
Well, just really a question. It followed on exactly what Councillor Chatterton said that I agreed with, but the report, I mean, it kind of does seem to suggest that we don't need a procedures policy at all. Could perhaps General Manager advise us that if in fact we do go back to a committee structure, do we need that meeting procedures policy? Because if we do, it's best left to lie on the table, as Councillor Chatterton suggested. Otherwise, we can deal with it when the matter is reviewed. It must be fairly soon. I don't know. We've been going, haven't we? Nearly 12 months.
Thank you. I'll ask Mr. Arnold to respond.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The current trial for council holding two council meetings a month, as opposed to the previous historical practice of one meeting per month, is due to be reviewed in December of this year. I think it's fair to say that the inference in the report is that if, following that review, council were to revert back to a committee structure, then that would obviously, if council rescinded this policy tonight, that would enable council officers to address that question in more detail, Councillor Berry, at that time.
Councillor Winter?
Can I move the recommended motion?
Do I have a seconder?
I'll second it.
Councillor Fox, if you'd like to speak to the motion, Councillor Winter?
I don't have a lot to say. I heard Councillor Chadson's points. I think that the General Manager's summed it up, the situation, pretty well, and I think if we need to revisit this, we can in December.
Thank you. Councillor Fox?
My understanding is that the current Local Government Act that we're under is more specific about meeting procedures and how long we can speak, etc., even in the committee system. So perhaps there's an overlap between our policy that's not needed. I stand to be corrected, but I'd support the motion as is, because I don't think it's really serving us, even if we had the committee system.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson?
Look, I'm in a civil position. If we rescind it now, if we go back to a committee system, then we'll have to put something in place if we want to add anything to the local government meeting procedures. This policy would have needed review anyway if we were going to put it in place, so I think there's nothing lost by rescinding it, because if we go back to the committee system, we'd want to look at what extra policies, if any, we want to put in place. So I'm in favour of this motion.
Thank you. In that case, councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Winter, seconded by Councillor Fox, that Council Policy 1.5 meeting procedures be rescinded. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour of the motion are Councillors Winter, Percy, Fox, Berry, Atkinson and Wass. And opposing the motion, we have Councillors Grace, Chatterton and Reet. Motion is carried. The next item is on page 126, policy 1.7, council representation on committees and external bodies. And likewise, there is a recommendation on the following page, 127. Councillor Fox? Councillor Atkinson? Councillor Fox?
Even when we had the committee system, the councils on representative bodies weren't always on the relevant committees. Often the skills are... it's just the way that things work, and I think this is a good recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have any further speakers? I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Atkinson, that Council Policy 1.7, Councillor Representation on Special Committees of Council and External Bodies, be rescinded. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 129, information reports. And I have a mover in Councillor Fox and a seconder in Councillor Winter. That the following reports be noted. The first one we'll discuss is the financial report for the period the 1st of July to the 31st of August 2016. Councillor Percy.
No, I think it's pretty straightforward because it's only 2 months into the year. The things I would note here, though, that rates is up by $317,000 already to the budget, and also income levies are up by $41,000. I would hope that these will go straight to our bottom line and not be offset by any expenses during the year, so I'd like to make that note, whether it's possible or not. I think when we did the underlying deficit for this year, we had $470,000. Now, if we can take off 317 and 41, we're going to end up with an underlying deficit of 112, which is close to a break-even, providing we don't find any depreciation or anything that's going to upset us too much. I know that there is a... In here there will be $288,000 of depreciation annualised that will be a negative, but I would hope that we could find offsetting expenses for that. I'm just wondering if the Manager of Finance, Mr Breen, could actually put a line in here. I think I might have asked for it before, which reports the underlying deficit as reported by the Tasmanian Audit Office each year, just so we can see how we're going. And obviously when we've got this extra depreciation of $288,000 during the year, it's going to affect our asset ratios, which I think we're only running at 80% now, so it's going to come in at less if there's no offset there. Probably what I would like to also mention, and I did mention some of these at the audit meeting the other day, audit committee meeting, so sorry, Mr. Councillor Atkinson, but so far we've only expended 3% of our capital expenditure. I know, we're 2 months in the year, so normally we probably would have had about 15-20%, but Mr. Breen did give an answer that a lot of it is in consultancy early in the year where we set up a capital expenditure project and we just get the plans and that drawn up where there's not a lot of costs. So therefore, in future, I think they're going to try and budget at the end of the previous year for those sort of things, so that when we hit the ground running on the 1st of July, the capital expenditure is actually ready to be done rather than have to wait for consultants to come up with drawings and all that sort of thing. So, Mr. Breen might want to confirm that, I don't know, but thank you very much. Other than that, things are tracking pretty well.
Mr. Breen, would you like to take Councillor Percy out of his misery and let him know, please?
Yes, through the Chair, so I can confirm the comments that Councillor Percy made.
Thank you. Councillor Graves?
Just a comment, mind you, it's not been sarcastically a comment, but just a comment. We've 18 million still in. Can we transfer money out of the capital works and give it to the pensioners? I could finance my pensioners rebate through this.
Not quite your road seal.
Oh, we'll look at it, will we? Thank you.
I think the gum tree down the road would have 10 nooses around it and waiting for us. Councillor Atkinson.
If we want our road sealed as well, it's a problem. I just had a question about the user charges. It says user charges are $84,000 over budget due to fees received from building and plumbing services and timing differences of fees received from the sports centre. So presumably the additional fees from plumbing and building is an actual extra income. The timing difference is just a change in, an income we were expecting later, but it came earlier. I just wondered what the breakdown there was between the two.
Mr. Breen, if you had that information...
Through the Chair, yes, the additional fees for building and plumbing is $38,000 for the first 2 months, so the remainder relates to the sports centre.
Thank you. And just a question I sort of relevant to this report. Those fees we're talking about with building and plumbing, that's the fees that are likely to drop off under this new building regulation, is that correct?
Mr. Breen?
Yes, through the Chair, that's correct. It's a bit uncertain as to the exact impact, but we would expect that to fall away once the changes are made.
Thank you.
Councillor Fox?
On page 132, we've got a graph showing total cash and investments 2016-17 in red and total cash and investments 2016-17 in blue. Is the date wrong, or is one budget and is one actual?
Mr. Breen?
Through the Chair, yes, the red should be 15-16.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. No further questions in relation to the financial report. We'll move on to the General Manager's Diary. Are there any comments, questions to the General Manager? Councillor Grace?
On page 137, down second up from the bottom, C178-8-16.
Mm-hmm.
Bruny Island Advisory Committee progressing, awaiting outcome for funding of application. What is the funding for?
Mr. Smee?
I'm hoping it's good.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the Bruny Island Advisory Committee requested that Council submit an application to the Vulnerable Road Users Group, and it was for a pedestrian walkway in Alana, I believe, and I understand that that funding submission has been lodged.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you for that. I hope it's successful. And if we go to page 139, C90416, it's 1, 2, 3, 4th up from the bottom, it's Rain and Horns premises. Repairs to be finished or furnished along with lease and amendment. I thought when we did the lease agreement that Rain and Horn were going to spend money. Well, why is
yes,
this
that's
in
close. Open? It's in closed session, so you can ask it in closed session.
Is this in close?
Yes, no, that part of it's
oh,
in
I'm
close.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Oh, I beg
thank you for bringing that to my attention, Councillor Fox.
I didn't see that.
That's okay. Who did I have next? I had Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. There were two items there about on the 16th of August and on the 9th of September about... Oh, sorry, the 2nd of September about meetings with Huon Valley Council. I wondered if there was any additional information on those and whether there's any information on the impact of the impending changes to the management of Huon Valley on those discussions.
I'll let Mr. Arnold respond, but I think I answered that very question to to Councillor Winter at last meeting. But Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The two references in the General Manager's diary relate to meetings that were held following Council decision to resume discussions with Huon Valley. At the first meeting, it was agreed that I would scope a memorandum of understanding and a scope of works for resource sharing and or boundary adjustments. I did that and provided that to Huon Valley Council. At the second meeting, we discussed those draft documents and it was agreed at that meeting that we would seek some understanding, confirmation, if you will, from the Minister's Office through the Acting Director of Local Government that funding would be available if our Council and the Huon Valley Council were both to resolve to request that the state government through the minister should in fact assist the funding of a feasibility study. And fortunately or unfortunately, since that last meeting, other events have transpired that appear to have overtaken that process, and we await feedback from the minister's office through the acting director. And in terms of the final part of your question, Councillor Atkinson, as to the likely immediate short-term future of the Huon Valley Council, I don't believe I'm in a position to answer how that may or may not impact.
Councillor Winter.
Yes, on page 138, the online petitions, which has been sitting there for a while, is talking about being considered as part of Council's remodelling of the website. Understand we are already progressing that remodel of the website, so I guess my question is are online petitions a part of the new website?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that's one I would have to take on notice, Councillor Winter, and provide a written response to all councils.
Cool. The other one is I'm not sure it's favourite or least favourite, 25A Osborne Esplanade. If you're in a position to provide any further update on that particular development application.
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The current situation is that the applicant is finalising updated reports that will accompany the application to enable it to be re-advertised, which I understand is imminent.
Cool. I've got one question for closed session, if that's okay with you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Fox.
I was very interested in the Huon situation and in the light of the appointment of a commissioner, whether the report that we were hoping to get would be a possibility that it would be ongoing, that we could continue discussions with the commissioner. That's one question.
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. If indeed the minister does carry through with his recent media release and address to Parliament in question time, and ultimately dismisses the Huon Valley Council, then the administrator would take the place of the council, and one would assume that we would then be able to continue those discussions with the administrator.
Thank you. The other issue on the 7th of September, the council's manager, governance and property, Daniel Smee, met with Dennis Fuller to discuss the RSL Memorial Walk. I have heard concerns in the community that the Memorial Walk may conflict with walkers and bike riders, particularly bike riders, and I was wondering whether that issue is going to come to council soon or whether there is a serious consideration already in council.
Thank you. Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I think, Councillor Fox, it's best to describe the Memorial Walk as a concept that is being pursued, but it is still very much in the embryonic stage. And I would happily report the matter to council if indeed it gathers momentum. At this stage, as I said, it's embryonic, it's conceptual, and it requires a significant amount of goodwill and support. And the meeting that Daniel Smee and I had with Dennis Fuller was basically more around the process that Dennis and the RSL might take to see whether they can't get some funding partners, private industry, community support to take it from conceptual to a possibility.
Councillor Reid.
Thank you. Given that there's mention here at the first item of the meeting with Spring Farm Development, can you give us an update on whether on potential commencement of the works? I noticed that the first stage is sold out already and stage two is available. I'm just wondering when they might be breaking ground on it.
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. My understanding, Councillor Reid, and it's a pity that Ms Stevenson's no longer with us, but my understanding is that the JAC group through PDA surveyors locally are finalising the requirements for conditions including street lighting, negotiations with TAS Network and other utility providers, and construction is imminent because, as Councillor Reid has already alluded to, last week we again met with them and I was in attendance at that meeting, and they indicated that over 40 allotments had been sold within 2 weeks. part of the contractual arrangements is that the titles have to be made available within 12 months, I believe. So construction will need to commence very quickly to achieve that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Gray.
Just a question through you to the General Manager. I noticed the Chronicle no longer comes here. Is there a reason, or are we feeding the Chronicle with all the information, or what?
Yes, the Chronicle attend when they're able to. They, I think, were in attendance the last meeting.
No.
The one before.
The one before.
They have a new community reporter, and that community reporter has other things. She's not full-time as the previous reporter. So, again, there is hours and things that she needs to take into consideration. But we certainly, through our own information, provide them to them, yes, if that answers your question.
It does, but it, it could be one-sided. That's all I'm concerned about. Yeah,
that's right. In that case, councillors will move on to the next item, which is the Kingborough Council's Audit Panel Independent Chairman's Report, August 2016, which starts at page 140. If there's any questions or comments there, we've got a couple of audit panel members here in Councillor Percy and Councillor Atkinson. And Councillor Percy is going to give us some information, or is she going to ask us a question?
Both.
Both? Go ahead.
Never hold back. First of all, can I just check that this is the most recent Chairman's report, because it did change and we didn't get into the Audit Panel Committee meeting. I'm just wondering if it's been included in here or not.
Mr. Breen?
Through the Chair, I'm not certain on that one. I don't know.
Right. There wasn't much change anyway, so it was only a few minor things. So I think Council should recognise the significant contribution of the three independent panel members, which is Nick Burrows, Robert Hogan and Paul McTaggart. I think the committee has worked very well this year. It's always very well organised and very professional in the way it's conducted, and also like to thank Mr. Breen for his contribution to the agenda and that sort of thing. And, yeah, so I just think that needs to be recognised, because I think we're probably very lucky in the members that we, independent members we've got, and of course the council members we've got as well.
Thank you, Councillor Grace.
Just on page 141, reviewing council performance through considering whether the actual finance statement it actually represents the state of affairs of council, and then it goes down. But the one I'm worried about is this is the performance through. This is what they're supposed to consider through the year, whether the council is complying with the provision of the Act and any other relevant legislation. That's is that with KWS? Have they looked into the situation, or have I read that wrong?
Yeah, what the audit panel report has said, that the audit panel's main responsibilities include reviewing the performance through considering, and whether the council is complying with the provisions of the Act and any other relevant. So it's looking into that part.
It is now looking into that.
Well, it has in that
report. Well, I thought this is what it says. It has looked into it. It says, get me reviewing the performance through considering. Well, when do we get a report on those issues relating to it?
Yes, I'll ask Mr. Arnold to update you.
And a fuse.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I think the easiest way to answer that question, Councillor Grace, is to say that at the audit panel last Friday, in attendance was the one of the deputy auditor generals for the state. The Tasmanian Audit Office regularly attend audit panel meetings, and it was noted by the audit panel that we received a clear report from the Auditor-General following an audit of the financials for the council last year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Fox?
Just that I think the projects that they're proposing are really important, looking at our state emergency responses and also the high school site, how that's developing, but also our risk appetite. And our long-term financial planning, of course. I mean, it's a huge task ahead of them, and I really wish them well. And I know they do an excellent job, and they have done up until now. I hate to say this, but I find it disappointing that there isn't a woman on this board, that there is no gender equity. Whether we should be asking for that as a council from the professionals, and also whether there should be a female on the board from our own councillors, is a little point I want to raise. Thank you.
In relation to our own councillors, council resolved initially that it was Councillor Percy and Councillor Street, and then when Councillor Street left council, council resolved that Councillor Atkinson would take his place. The last appointment to the panel members was Mr. McTaggart, and I think from memory he was one of two or three males for the job. Originally when Mr. Burrows and Mr. Hogan were appointed, I'm not sure if there were any women. There was one woman and moved from the area, so I'm told. So I take your point, but Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you. It's a legitimate point that Councillor Fox has raised, and I'm glad she has. I wasn't going to speak, but as Councillor Percy did, I thought I'd better, and I'd also like to thank him for his contribution. The only point I really wanted to make was at the Local Government Association audit panel workshop the other day, hearing from the other independent chairs of audit panels. Firstly, there were people talking about using our audit panel in terms of reference and the way we worked as an example of how a good audit panel should work, and hearing their personal experiences of audit panels, things like being afraid to let other councillors into the room because of the chaos it would cause, I thought was an absolute compliment to this council and the way that the audit panels run here. So I think that was worth recording.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. On that basis, Councillor Chadwick.
I'll just pick up on a comment that Councillor Atkinson made. I think it's worthwhile noting that Robert Hogan, when he was living on the mainland, was in fact on three different council audit panels. And Mr. Burrows used to be on two audit panels, but he's now only on ours. But he was on one north of Hobart at one stage. And I say Robert's been on two or three. But some councils on the mainland do have one audit panel which is shared amongst other councils, and there's nothing precluding us, if we wanted to be proactive, and if the neighbouring council didn't have an audit panel, we could. That would be one way in which negotiations could happen with the council. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. On that basis, we'll move on to the draft minutes of the Kingborough Road Safety Committee, dated the 31st of August 16, for information, and if there's any questions or comments, now is the time.
Only there.
Councillor Fox.
The issue of unroadworthy vehicles, and that they want them to be tested on a mandatory basis if they're more than 3 years old. This issue has been raised over and over and over again by this committee, and there's been a very strong response from the governments of both parties that they don't want it. So. And I would personally disagree, having lived in New Zealand with that situation. It's so time-consuming and it's very expensive.
Thank you. Councillor Chadden?
Our ACT are going to look into it further and see what... they actually haven't got a standing on the matter, but this is the first time the RACT had been able to attend a meeting for some considerable time, and they were quite interested on the subject and were going to look into it further.
Oh, and another point. The Cottage Lane, they're asking that an additional route be considered for pedestrians from Firthside. There is actually another route from Firthside to the Whitewater Creek area through an underpass. Mm-hmm. So that does exist, and maybe it's a matter of pointing it out to the members that it is there and it has been for many years.
I'm sure the chairman will take that on board. It was mentioned, and it wasn't the desired route that some people felt was safe. It wasn't as safe because where it led to once that underpass came out, they wanted to make a better route. So that was brought up. I did allude to that. However, this particular route through Cottage Lane is the one which council has recently endorsed as the wetlands route, and that was said that that would be a very safe route because you're basically walking, not having to cross roads to come from Firthside. You'd come through very limited roads to have to cross to come down to Cottage Lane and come through and finish up down at the Plant Hire building and come through from there.
Thank you. Councillor Grace?
Just on Herning, I just look at the remarks. I know Newell Bloomfield advised about Herning, and yes, it is going on in big time down south, and it has been going on for quite some time. But the remarks from Sergeant Peters that we take numbers, you can't get the numbers, they're gone. And who's going to stand out in the middle of the road and try and get a number off some idiot that's burning his tyres up and likely to run over the top of you anyway? Sorry? Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you? You know what I mean? It's something that I wouldn't encourage the community to go out there and try and collect numbers. All we can do is do what we do, is ring up. And by the time we ring up anyway and a car gets there, they're long gone. It's just one of those things. And people know. I can tell you now, the hoons know down our end of town when the police are not going to be down there. They've got a 99.9 chance of getting away with it. That's how keen they are, and that's how they know the movements of this Kingston Police Station, because there is no action here at the Kingston Police Station. There's no action. It's shut up, and people know that. And that's why it's increasing, that it is because of the lack of police in this area. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. And I think what Sergeant Peters was saying, that exactly that by the time they get there, they're gone, and obviously it would help assist them if people are able to get the registration or the make and model or the colour of the car and give them something to work on.
People have tried that.
Yeah, I know, but if we don't do something, it will continue. Okay, so on that basis, we'll move on to the final report, which is the minutes of the 67 Bushfire Commemoration Working Group, which were dated the 31st of August 2016. If there are any questions or comments into that one. Councillor Grace.
Look, I'd like to point out, Mayor, you've been to one meeting, I think. The committee's a very good committee. We're lucky, and I think I've said this before, very lucky to get the people we've got on this committee. And they're working very, very closely and cooperative together. And we're getting stuff together now that's not in this set of minutes, but we have now confirmed the time. We have put together, which hasn't gone to the committee, a timetable, time frame of how, who will speak, when they'll speak, how long they'll take, etc., etc. The only snag that we see is the fact that it's the day before the school goes back, but let it be. I don't believe that we should change it forward 2 days or change it from that particular day, because the event was that day. And I think we're going to get a lot of people that will come to that memorisation ceremony that will take place down there. You know, I can speak more about it, but I think at the end of the day, we're now sort of in a position where we're waiting for some of the guests to acknowledge whether they're available or aren't available. We've had one back so far, and that's the Governor of Tasmania saying that she won't be available on the day for I don't know what the reason is, but she will not be available. We're getting positive feedback, well, positive from politicians, that it sounds practical that the Prime Minister makes a big effort to come down to that celebration, world communication. I've got to be careful saying celebrations. It's not a celebration, but, you know, there's a lot of work, and Julie Annie behind me, Angie, you know, there's a lot of work, and it's I don't know, it's a big work. We're bringing in a couple of others from outside. Elaine Cockshott, the committee's agreed to bring her forward to help with the catering, et cetera, and she has also raised the issue because of Phil Norton is very ill, as we know, even though she was only representing the Channel Folk Museum. So Elaine will be representing the Snug area, because there's a lot of people have formed part with her to help her through that commemoration activity. We're still waiting on police, but it's been very good. We're just hopefully, Mayor, within the next couple of meetings we'll have virtually everything furnished. There'll be a lot of other stuff. We'll have to come back to council to see whether council will give assistance with traffic management and that sort of thing. Parking we'll have to look at. So there's quite a few things yet we've got to deal with. Power, how much power's down there, whether we have to hire generators or stuff like that. So we'll keep you informed, and this is only a briefing on what we're at and where we're at.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I think Councillor Grace must be doing a great job with his meetings, running them within an hour with 15 people in the room. That's remarkable to get through the work so efficiently. I was just going to say, if there are any documents, you're saying that there are plans sort of being built up and things, if there is anything concrete that can be shown to us that can be attached to these minutes, that would help give us a picture of what's going on. I mean, I'm reading this, I get sort of, you know, fragmented ideas of what it is, but because I'm not on the committee and I don't see the plan of the day or the plan of what's happening. So if there are other documents that are being circulated at the meetings, it would be quite interesting to see those attached to the minutes. That was my only comment. Thank you.
Through, as Chair, we're quite happy to put those forward as soon as they're in concrete. We just want to run them back this Wednesday, and then we'll confirm them, and no doubt they'll come back to the next council.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Winter, that the following information reports be noted. One, financial report. 1 July, 31st of August 2016, 2 General Manager's Diary, 15/8 to September, 3 Kingborough Council's Audit Panel Independent Chairman's Report of August 2016, 4 the draft minutes of the Kingborough Road Safety Committee dated 31st of August 16, and 5 the minutes of the 1967 Bushfires Commemoration Working Group dated 31st of August 2016. Councillors in favour, if you would please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 162, and that is confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. If I can have a mover and a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Reid, and thank you, Councillor Percy. That in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meetings Procedures Regulation 2015, the following items are to be dealt with in closed session. Application of leave of absence in Kingborough Family Daycare premises. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. If I can have a mover and a seconder for the next one, which is Councillor Fox and Councillor Berry, that in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 215, that Council move into closed session. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. In accordance with the Kingborough Council Meetings Audio Recording Guidelines Policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease.